the word of God from the mouth of Christ in the city of Jerusalem during Holy Week with the temple looming behind him. The vineyard servants, through him, that is the heir, the beloved son of the vineyard owner, out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Publicly and legally, the architects and engineers of the former Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City had to underscore during all the various interviews they were faced with, once in a millennium nature of the attack that brought down the building they had designed and built. A person wonders whether privately and personally, though, they thought maybe even just one time, "We should have known." Should have known. The building could have been put under that kind of stress, and therefore should have maybe been designed differently. And by the way, buildings like that today are designed differently. But of course, you can't go back. The structural damage caused by the impact, I should say the impacts, the burning jet fuel for over an hour, the 48 million pounds of weight overhead on the upper floors above the impact site, all conspired to demolish the two towers. The architects and engineers could never have imagined the particulars of the attack and the manner in which their building would collapse. But in a tragic sense, they should have known. Our gospel reading for this morning is different from the parable Jesus told earlier that you heard last week about the lost son. That had to do with the father seeking out the lost by means of his own son, and was spoken by Jesus on the final leg of his journey to Jerusalem. Today's parable is spoken after Palm Sunday within the city walls and likely not far from the temple. This parable underscores the continual reaching out of God for his people, having sent them prophet after prophet, culminating in the sending of his son, the beloved one, the heir of all things. The rejection of God's word that those messengers and eventually the son faced, and the rejection of each and every one of them personally, crescendoed when they threw the son outside of the walls and had him killed. The vineyard servants in the parable should have known better. They should have known, first of all, basically, their place. They were servants, not masters. The vineyard had been leased to them, lent to them, for them to work it, make sure that everything was growing and healthy, so that when the master, whose vineyard it was, came seeking fruit, it was their one and only job to give it to him. The vineyard servants should have known better. They should have known that the owner sent his messengers for a reason, to get the fruit that was his due. They should have known that instead of giving violence in place of the fruit, knowing, they should have known, there's going to be recompense for this. Did you follow the story carefully? You would think the vineyard owner should have known. He should have known. After having sent three messengers, and they're just standing in for actually many more, having sent three messengers who were so shamefully mistreated, why did he send his son? He should have known better, you would have thought. The vineyard servants should have known better, shouldn't they have? They should have known that the inheritance would not come to them under any case, and especially if they killed the one who is the heir, the beloved son of the owner of the vineyard. rather than inheriting an inheritance, they would inherit and reap the whirlwind. The son must have known better. He must have known that those who were sent before him had been so shamefully mistreated, and yet he goes willingly at the will of his beloved father to the vineyard that the father does own. No matter what those wretches and servants do, the father always owns that vineyard, and so the son goes expecting fruit, just as his father does. Now, what about the application of that parable? That day spoken once in Jerusalem, and now into your ears today, the scribes and the chief priests, the leaders of Israel, those who knew the Old Testament, who were fluent in Moses and the prophets, they should have known. They should have known when their time of visitation had occurred, when the Messiah had arrived on the scene, and yet they could not bear it. They didn't want to hear it. They were going to push him away as far as they could, and yes, even up onto a cross and into death. They should have known the result that would follow, that Jesus clearly states what will happen to those tenants. God will come, and he will destroy them and give the vineyard to someone else. Israel should have known, the whole people, not just the scribes and Pharisees, all of them should have known the time of their visitation. After all, God had prepared them for this for 2,000 plus years. Paul writes in Romans 9, listen carefully. They are Israelites. They have every advantage. To them belong the adoption from God himself, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from them, from their race, comes the Christ, who is God blessed forever over all. Amen. They should have known. But far from knowing, far from even being willing to repent and acknowledge their wrong, they take even steps further into their darkness and their opposition to Jesus. They want him dead, just like Jesus' parable. You better know your place. You should know who you are. Like you confessed it earlier, by nature we are sinful and unclean, or like David confesses in Psalm 51, surely I was a sinner from birth, sinful even from the time my mother conceived me. And that doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. That is the truth for all of us. We are by nature Gentile sinners who deserve nothing from God, can expect nothing from him. We are without God, naturally, unless he intervenes. And the result of that is without hope. You should know your place. But there's something even more that you do know. You know the good news of the gospel. You know that Christ has suffered for you so that you might indeed have an inheritance. Did you notice the parable? At the beginning, the owner simply leased the vineyard out to the servants. At the end, when he comes in judgment to destroy those rebellious ones, what does it say? It says he gives the vineyard over to others, not leasing it, but really giving them the fullness of the kingdom, which has come to you in 2016 because of Jesus and then the apostles who saw him and heard him, because Jesus told them during Holy Week, I have appointed you to bear fruit, and your fruit will always remain. And that means you and me today. We are the fruit of the apostles and their preaching. You know the gospel. You know what Christ has done for you. You know through Jesus who the Father is and what he thinks about you. He is not angry at you. That's why he sent the prophets in the first place, to reach out. That's why he sent his son to earn salvation for you. You would have thought that the owner of the vineyard would have known. The one that owner represents, in reality, the God of Israel, does know. And he knows to the core of his heart what his people are like and what he needs to do. He needs what the sacrifices he'll need to make in order to truly reach out to them and reach them. The son in the parable, in reality, is Jesus, the Messiah. And he likewise knows what awaits him. And he knows not just as God, he knows all things. He also knows in his flesh, in his heart, in his mind, as a human being, what it means to be rejected. The pain of that and the suffering that will be coming his way. He knows all these things so that you would not know that. So that instead you know a Father who smiles on you. You know a Father who commits himself to you forever. You know that in the judgment you will stand and not need to shrink back in fear because you have been declared not guilty because of Jesus' death and resurrection. The scribes and the Pharisees, they could not bear Jesus. They could not bear repentance, and so they walked even deeper into their darkness. They rejected him. They wanted him dead. But Jesus, by their very opposition, fulfills the will of the Father, earns salvation for you, and now brings it to you through his word and the sacraments. These are the things you know. You hear them with your own ears. Even later in this service, you will hear the testament of Jesus himself spoken to you. And he comes to serve you. Full God is to you. It is given fully. Paul the Apostle says he was an exemplary Jewish man. As to the law, blameless and righteous. And yet, what did he say? Completely different reaction than the scribes and Pharisees, wasn't it? He said, instead of hanging on to this and killing the Messiah, I'm going to let go. Can you do that? Let go of it all so that I might have him. He is the true Jew. He is the true man who does the will of God completely. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is risen from the dead. I want to have him. And he wants you to have himself. He gives himself to you freely and fully through the gospel, absolution, that sacrament there which you will receive. He wants you to have himself. They should have known. What kind of excuse do we have? We've got the New Testament written down. The Holy Spirit has been poured out generously upon us as Jesus promised after he accomplished and earned our salvation. What kind of excuse do you think we have for being lethargic, for being slow, for being weary, for unrepentance, for holding sins against our neighbor and especially our brother or sister in Christ? Who do we think we are? Instead, let go of all those things and hold on to the heir, the Son, the Beloved One, the Messiah, Jesus, your Savior. Amen. We join together in confessing the Christian faith in the triune God in the words of the Nicene Creed found on the back cover of your hymnal. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray now for all God's people and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, through your Son Jesus, you have done a wonderful new thing that leaves your church astonished in praise and adoration. You sent him into our world to be our righteousness and to bestow on us, who should have been thrown out, your own eternal inheritance. For this we give you glory and praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow your spirit, we pray, O Lord, on all the ministers of the gospel, especially Matthew Harrison, our Synod President, Dean Adesty, our District President, Pastor Tim Lampkin, and the saints he serves as Shepherd of the Grove, and for all the missionaries and servants of the church, especially the Reverend David Preuss as he prepares to go to the Dominican Republic, and the Reverend Daniel Jastrom as he prepares to be deployed to Japan, that they may be given grace to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, the prize of the upward call you have sounded in your Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Kind Father, remember in your compassion this family of your children. Fill us with your joy during these Lenten days. Make us strong confessors of your Son's death and resurrection for the world's salvation. Refocus our faith in your precious gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
King of all, you hold in your hand all the powers that exist throughout this world. We commend to you all the public servants of our nation who make, judge, and enforce our laws, all those who serve in the armed forces of our nation and police forces of our communities. Protect them, watch over them, make them a blessing of yours, and strengthen and uphold them in every good deed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lover of all, remember all those who call upon you in their hour of need, the sick in our own congregation, the suffering, the persecuted, the dying, the grieving, our shut-ins and homebound, and especially all for whom our prayers are desired. May your holy angels attend them, and the sweet promises of your word strengthen them, granting to them that relief that you know to be best. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we approach the holy table of our Savior Jesus, where your Son imparts to us his blessed body and blood for our forgiveness and eternal life, remove from us all impenitence and spiritual apathy. Stir up our hearts to receive with joy and unending gratitude what our Lord here gives us by his grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Join our prayers and praises with those of your faithful people of every time and every place. Unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest Jesus until he returns again in power and great glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. We gather our offerings and gifts. Let us prepare now to celebrate the great feast of salvation. We join in the offertory. Please rise.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house. O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast of Easter in sincerity and in truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive us, renew us, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way also, after supper, Jesus took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave